Good morning. This is All Sides Weekend. I'm Marilyn Smith. We're taking a look at the Columbus restaurant scene. Joining me this morning are the Riches Terapak, father and son, and Miriam Bowers Abbott, food reviewer for The Other Paper. Everybody got their stuff together here? We're just adjusting.
No. We'll try.
We're going to go without you.
We'll try.
We have all recently visited Barrel 44 at its secondary location. Actually, it could be a primary location.
Yeah, considering the size.
Bexley, the site of the former Bexley Monk. And Rich and I had lunch there yesterday. Miriam, you had lunch recently.
Yes.
So you're we're all to speed here. And somebody has a menu.
Mm-hmm. Oh, sorry. Yeah. Dad brought it and I just stole it.
Yeah,
but I'll start. I've been in there a couple times. It is in my neighborhood, so it's convenient. A great spot. You know, if you've been to the Old Monk, it looks pretty similar. It looks like they may have updated the paint on the walls and put in some new light fixtures. But and other than that, they do have black tablecloths with brown paper on top, which is a little different than most restaurants and the Monk that used to be there. But the Monk was a great-looking spot and has a great-looking bar, and that they've maintained. As far as food goes, I've only been there at lunchtime. It's the only time I've been actually able to get in there. It's been pretty crowded at night, which is terrific. The first time around, I did an oyster po' boy, which was pretty standard, but very good. The oysters were good, nice and fresh with, you know, a remoulade and everything. And then I also tried the duck flatbread, which had a confit of duck with caramelized onions, goat cheese, and a berry wine reduction, which is darn good. So that was the first time I was in there. And then yesterday I tried out one of their burgers, which are a huge half-pound burger. I did the signature 44 burger, which had strips of grilled portobello mushrooms, and then it had like a demi-glaze on it and Swiss cheese. And it was really good as well.
Well, you ate it so fast nobody else could even see it.
Yes, sorry.
A little hungry.
Yeah, I did come hungry. But I think regarding the menu in general, I love their menu. It's kind of done in a flipbook style, and I would honestly eat almost anything on it, which I can't say for many menus around town. Anyway, what did you guys think?
Well, I think I agree. I thought it was good, and you're right. The place is as nice as ever. They've done a little bit of updating, lighting, and the walls are a different color. It looks a little brighter, but it's still pretty much the place we loved as the Monk. I had been to the one on North High Street. It's been a couple of years ago, and I'd had the fish sandwich, so I decided to do another fish sandwich. This time I did one that wasn't breaded. I did the blackened catfish, which was I thought was really good. It had some pico de gallo on it, also a little onion, and what I like best is they serve it with a little tub of the remoulade, the Cajun remoulade. That was terrific.
All of the sauces tasted homemade.
Yeah, they did. I thought it was a lot of fun. Like you said, it was jam-packed when we tried to get in late on Saturday. It was 10 o'clock, and we were just going to go in and kind of check it out, and the place was packed. They do have a pretty adequate, at least for a neighborhood, pretty adequate parking lot, so we don't want to discourage people from going.
But. And for those who aren't aware, this is in the Bexley Square Shopping Center, which is right across from Capital University at Main and College Avenue.
It is about four times the amount of space they had on North High Street, and hopefully they'll be able to, get the wait staff up to speed. And we had a great waitress yesterday.
Stephanie, I think, was her name.
And so I'm excited to have them in the neighborhood. I agree.
So when they opened, I noticed there was a big hubbub about children's menus. So I'm dying to ask you all if during your visits you saw children.
No, in fact, I read your article, and I saw also I'm on Facebook, and I follow the city of Bexley, who made a post regarding the new appearance of the restaurant, and much of the comments on it were, regarding do they have a children's menu, and some people are kind of back and forth, like should they, shouldn't they? I mean, it is, it's a bar, but a restaurant as well. They do have a couple of children's items. But no, I didn't notice any children in there.
It was a Friday on a school day, we wouldn't necessarily.
I wouldn't expect to really. You never saw a lot of children at the Monk either. And but there are, I mean, don't get me wrong, there are plenty of places that would accommodate children along that Main Street strip in Bexley.
But they do have a children's menu.
Yeah. Oh yeah. And with like burgers and fries, and I thought they were like the same sort of quality that they serve to grown-ups. So good top of the shelf stuff. I was just curious if, you know, there was just a lot of talk about children's menu, if that manifested in a lot of children, or if that was just mostly a lot of talk and excitement. It was just sort of odd for me because. I think of Barrel 44 as being a whiskey bar.
That's what they call it, a whiskey bar. I think it may have had something to do with just the timing of when the city of Bexley made that post. It was kind of during the day where you might have, you know, some like stay-at-home types checking Facebook.
Oh, yeah. That makes sense.
I think it might just be a demographic thing of, you know, when that post came out.
We have to check it out on Saturday. I think, you know, we were there on a school day, so we didn't see a lot of kids. I don't know. I guess you could probably bring preschoolers in. The place is big enough that, and you can be far enough away from
but
the bar.
But you could lose them. Could I leave them there? That's right.
And regarding the size, I did want to also mention, apparently the original Barrel 44 on North High Street in the Short North area is actually going to be expanding, because we've mentioned it's a slightly smaller space, into there was a bookstore next door that recently went out of business. And so they're going to be growing that location as well.
Oh, good. Good. Well, one of the things I liked, and I think it's the case because the carryout menu had the same prices, they were kind of average lunch prices for sandwiches and things for, you know, healthy portions and good food. It's the same price point in the evening.
Right. That's impressive.
Oh, no games. Yeah. I like that. Yeah. I like that.
Mm-hmm. Well, I had the black and blue salad, which was a kind of a wedge of iceberg lettuce with flank steak, I think.
Mm-hmm. Flat iron. Yep.
Flat iron steak. And it was cooked to our specifications of rare to medium rare. And then it had Maytag blue cheese kind of broiled on top of the salad, and a really fresh-tasting dressing that set it all off, because the other ingredients tended to be a little bit on the heavy side. And this was a really flavorful, light dressing, kind of a, I wouldn't say a cream-based, but a light white dressing. Mm-hmm. And then it had some bacon bits, I think, around the outside.
Could have been a buttermilk, nice. I think.
Yeah, it was really pretty solid, a great presentation. The most interesting thing was seeing it come out with the crisp on top of the Maytag blue cheese, which you don't see on I've never seen that on a salad.
No, I haven't either.
But it's appropriate being stacked on top of the steak. They'd clearly put that part under the broiler, you know. It looked really interesting.
There was enough cheese so you didn't cook the meat anymore.
Right, exactly.
It was still... No, very flavorful, very good. Certainly something I'd go back and order again.
I guess we liked it.
I think we liked it a whole lot. And Miriam, you did take your kids...
Oh, you see, you figured it out. I didn't say that explicitly before.
No,
but that was part of the joke. It was like, well, if all these people are going to talk about it, then I might do it. So I know a little bit about the children's menu. It was sort of part of okay, if this is really what they're going to do, if this is what they want to be out about, does this work? And I did it at like off hours. So when I ran this little experiment, I made sure that there weren't really a whole lot of witnesses, which because it could have turned out horribly. And they were fine. And actually the food for kids was great. I mean, like, especially if you're an anti-nugget person, because they don't have any nuggets on the menu, which was not as tragic as I thought it might have ended up being. They have chicken fingers. They're not breaded. I also had one of the pizzas, and you know what really surprised me is that I think they actually do have a wood-fired oven.
Absolutely.
It is wood-fired, yeah.
A lot of people say they have a wood-fired oven, and then, you know, zoning, they can't get the little smokestack thing, and so it's not really wood. It's just a really hot electric or gas oven.
No, it's real, because we saw them where they were doing some chickens.
They were doing whole chickens.
Well, pizza is, I mean, the crust is sublime because of that, I think. I think the high heat that only a wood-fired oven can generate is distinctly
about 800
different.
800 to 1200 degrees.
I covet those. Yeah. I would like one.
Yeah. But then I would also like someone to cook them for me. Maybe your boys could arrange that for you. It's a bonfire right in the middle of the kitchen. We were talking about restaurants and food here on All Sides Weekend. 292-8513 is the number if you have questions. We're going to move along. I think the interesting thing about Barrel 44 is that although people in the Short North may have been aware of it. It's up around 4th and High Street, I think.
Yeah. Several Surly Girls up there in that same neighborhood. Yeah.
It's certainly getting a lot more play and a lot more publicity now that it's opened this Bexley location.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I've honestly heard the name more. Maybe, you know, also I live in Bexley in all fairness, but I've heard the name more than I ever did when it was up on High Street. But it seems to have really filled the space well. I mean, the menu's absolutely appropriate. I think it'll be more successful than the Monk was in the end just because of the lower price points. You know, the Monk wasn't open for lunch at the end. The menu was kind of – they tried to become kind of a lamb and chop house, and they didn't do it, you know, particularly any better than anyone else did. I think, you know, at these price points, with that great bar that they've got, I think this is the perfect kind of restaurant to assume that space.
And either an owner or a chef actually came out and asked us how we were doing.
Yeah.
And how everything
service
was.
Service was great.
It was terrific. 292-8513 if you have any questions about food or restaurants in the area. But one of the other things we wanted to get to, the Claremont recently closed. After some 60 years in business, it was a traditional meeting spot for state lawmakers and movers and shakers downtown. It was the place where people took meetings in the morning, and you could kind of tell who was running for what based on who
this
they were sitting with.
Further slow down the process of the passage of the statutes in the legislature, because that's where the bargaining got done.
I wonder if the new place in the State House, since they started allowing liquor.
Milo's?
Do you think that had an impact on the Claremont?
I don't think so.
No?
I'm in the Huntington building, so I can get there through the garage. And on bad days, it's a good place to go. And they've got good sandwiches and gyros and things.
Okay, but not the
and
same.
There are a couple,
the same
you know, you see a couple
genre.
Lobbyists talking to each other down there, but it's not.
It's not the power breakfast.
Okay.
That's unusual to have a bar in the basement of the State House, but
it might not be a bad idea.
Yeah.
Might get more done.
Well, but a number of new restaurants have opened downtown. I wonder if the overall shift to some of these other places, the Little Palace, Dirty Frank's, De Novo just opened.
Milestone 229.
Which is the one that you can always remember, and I can't. if just the sheer bulk of all of these restaurants opening up had an effect.
I'd say so, and I mean, they really hadn't put any money into, you know, I mean, really updating the place at all in the last, you know, 10 or 15 years. I don't think they've done much to it.
Yeah, they kind of traded on the tradition, but it was
And I think that might partially be because I know during the real estate boom, the owners of the establishment were considering building like a mixed lifestyle use place there, like, you know, like an 8-story condo building with, you know, retail on the bottom, you know, anchored by the Claremont. And I think when the real estate market fell apart and the economy crashed, you know, I'm sure the financing for that kind of project dried up pretty quick. And so maybe they had kind of, you know, put all their eggs in that basket and really hadn't, you know, tried to maintain it as, you know, a single establishment restaurant in that spot.
Although the owner had closed Tom's on Grandview to concentrate primarily on the Claremont.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I just couldn't keep up, I guess.
Yeah, and, it's too bad.
You know, it's a competitive market.
We got to find banana cream pie someplace.
292 fill the void.
292-8513, and we're going to take a short break here. We'll be back in just about a minute.
Mitt Romney won Florida handily this week, and maybe it had something to do with his impromptu singing performance at a senior citizen center the day before the vote. He did his favorite numbers, including Can Buy Me Love and If I Were a Rich Man, Oh Wait, Actually I Am. Join us for Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me, the All Sing and All Dancing News Quiz from NPR.
Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me, tomorrow morning at 11 on 89.7 NPR News. 42 degrees in downtown Columbus, sunshine today and a high near 50. Clouds for tonight and a low of 35 degrees. Expect rain for tomorrow, a high of 43. And looking ahead to Sunday, partly cloudy and a high of 45.
Support for 89.7 comes from the Midland Theater presenting Songs My Mama Taught Me, the Judy Garland Songbook, performed by her daughter Lorna Luft, Saturday, February 11th at 8 p.m. Tickets at midlandtheater.org.
All Sides Weekend continues on 89.7 NPR News.
Good morning. I'm Marilyn Smith. We're talking about food and restaurants with Rich Terapak and his son Rich, along with Marian Bowers Abbott, food reviewer for The Other Paper. The number to call if you have questions about food or restaurants here in Columbus, 292-8513. And Ted is joining us. Good morning.
Hello.
Hi, Ted. Go ahead.
Yes, just wanted to let everyone know about our great experience at Zen Cha's in Bexley now. It's a tea room. I'm not even a great tea drinker, but I love the way they present it. Every trip in there is a new experience with teas. They have a full menu, and my wife and I love going in there for their Sunday and Saturday brunches. Fantastic menu, very nice staff, just a great experience.
And Zen Cha also has a location, I think, in the Short North.
Yeah, in North High, kind of a little north of North Star, but on the east side of the street.
And there's another one coming on Gay Street downtown as well a little later this year.
Can anything else fit on Gay Street? It's become the Bethel Road of downtown.
No, it's great, though. I mean, I used to work downtown, and I couldn't find anything to eat. And I stopped about 3.5 years ago, and since then, yeah, that Gay Street corridor is filled up.
They heard you left, and they...
Yeah, apparently. They're like, it's safe now.
What is so exceptional about Zen Cha Tea Room, Ted?
Well, I just like their menu. It is they have fantastic full array of soups, of fish tacos are absolutely fabulous. They have a Japanese style pancake that is really cool.
I've had that. It's great. I've had that at their brunch. Yeah.
Yeah. So and they make a really nice shrimp cheesy grits for breakfast or brunch. I've had their duck was really well presented. I'm a vegetarian. I still am eating some of these things every now and then just to try it. So here's a guy that doesn't want to eat meat, still eats it, doesn't even try tea, but goes to a tea room. I mean, I don't know what's going on.
You're confused.
I am.
They also have some of the best chicken dumplings in town. They apparently have a gentleman from China who comes in and hand rolls them in the mornings days a week.
A very, very extensive menu.
Yeah, it's pretty diverse. Wow.
It is pretty diverse.
Chicken dumplings.
I mean, it's kind of Asian based, but it's definitely fusion with a lot of other cuisines. Yeah, it's quite good. I'm not a big tea guy. I've tried a couple things there. You know, they're nice. But the food is certainly worth the visit as well.
Yeah, you're surprised at how diverse and how large the menu is, considering it's known as a tea room.
I think it's almost a shame that it's got that in the name, because I think a lot of people wouldn't stop in, you know.
Oh, yeah, Zen Cha Salon would still keep the brand image. Interesting.
Tea, it's more than a tea house is all I mean in a way, yeah.
And where is it in Bexley?
Right across from the public library on East Main Street. It's in a strip next to Aladdin's. There's a WG Grinders and another strip right on the other side of it.
292-8513 if you have questions about food or restaurants here in Columbus. One of the topics that we were going to get to last time and never did was the city of Cleveland is suing the state for the right to ban the sale of prepared foods that contain trans fats. And this came up quite a while ago. The city of Cleveland was going to actually introduced this ban, and the state stopped them from doing it. And now the city is appealing that, say they are going to file suit. I think we talked about this a little bit with Steve Stover the last time, but it kind of goes to the heart of who has the right to tell people what to eat and restaurants what they can put or not put on their menus.
Mm-hmm. The city of Cleveland voted on this as part of their they made an initiative under their mayor to be one of the healthiest cities in the country.
And I think New York did this as well.
Right. York has one in place,
I believe. Yeah, they voted on it last April, and the state didn't accept it, essentially, and said it was unenforceable. And now they're planning to sue the state for the right under, I think, home rule. Yeah, exactly. I mean, for those of you who don't know, trans fats are, an industrially created fat, in a factory, basically. They taste good. They tend not to have any nutritional value whatsoever and can easily be supplemented with other types of fats.
Well, in most foods, even potato chips will say now on the bag, no trans fats.
Yeah, ever since 2006, the federal government has required that manufacturers of processed foods let you know if there's trans fats in them. And so, it really boils down to kind of what's your particular – political leaning when it comes to food. Are you...
Well, I think it's the restaurant associations as well. You know, any kind of limitation on what they can use, you know, it hits the bottom line and all those kinds of things. So they're going to resist it. And not unlike, you know, the wine distributors not wanting, or the liquor distributors not wanting to open up to general public because they can earn more money through greater state control. You know, they'll resist the kinds of things that change the market.
But restaurants could do this voluntarily.
Sure they could.
Oh, many do.
Would take margarine off of every menu. It would take margarine out of every recipe. Because margarine is a trans fat, so a fat becomes a trans fat when you take an oil and you change its structure so that it's solid at room temperature. So, and I guess pie crust made with Crisco would, and I suppose if you put that kind of fat in your fryer, then anything you fried, you would have to fry it in something else. So I can see how this would have
it could be cumbersome for a restaurant.
A bigger effect than it seems
lard.
Kind of Asian. I know, that's what I couldn't decide
better.
If that would be, that's what I was trying to decide, because then it opens up the door for rancid lard, which is repugnant.
The lard is made with lard.
Or Crisco, according to some people, right? And then Crisco
would be
banned.
But there are other oils that can be used,
I'm not a good fryer. I always burn things, and I know part of it has to do with the kind of oil you use, right? Some oils burn at different temperatures.
Right.
Peanut oil is very high temperature, right?
Then you scare the peanut people.
I love peanut oil.
Well, this is something we're going to have to kind of watch and see if it moves down the line and raises any kind of interest here in Columbus.
My instinct would be that while the more conservative, the state house is in more conservative hands, that you're not likely to see the state grant, you know, limits on such things.
Back off that.
It's a personal freedom is the way they look at it. And in many ways, that's valid.
292-8513 if you have questions or comments. And one of the other issues that we wanted to bring up were food trends for 2012. Miriam, you just wrote an article about this for the other paper.
A couple that I can remember offhand. I'll throw out three. The chef that predicted that gluten-free dining would be big, only predicted it 4 years ago, called for comfort food to be big this year. I feel like comfort food is timeless, hence its name. So right. I'm down for comfort food this year. Another person said that meatless main dishes would be big, and that seems like a place where we're moving generally. I'm down for that too. I can't remember the third thing I was. Oh, I know what I was going to predict. Biodynamic. I think Till is always on the cutting edge. Those Walmarts always know what's going to happen next. They were into organic before it was hip, so I'm going to bet that they're beginning of the biodynamic.
Oh, we talked about this a little bit.
I know. Exploding fountains of blood. Hey, one more that I'm going to ask for is the end of goat cheese. And then I'll be quiet. I would like to see no more goat cheese.
We don't want you to be quiet.
That's my goal.
Greece is in enough trouble already. We got to have goat cheese.
For Mark on Facebook, and I'm not going to be able to pronounce this. He said that you asked for the next big food trend. I wish he had called with this comment so that he could pronounce this word. Entomography?
Eating bugs?
Yes.
Oh!
Yeah. He says it's the new sushi.
Is that Mark?
That's Mark.
I think I know who that is. He's famous. He's also
for this.
He's also known as the Bug Man, and he gave a talk at TED this year. In fact,
really?
Not necessarily about eating bugs, but about how much you could learn if you watched insects. And really very compelling speaker. I mean, he could
it's
keep you going
favorites.
For a while on this. You should have him come talk about
is
eating bugs
the bug
on the show.
Is this the bug doctor at Ohio State?
No, he's called Bug Man. His name is Mark Berman, if it's who I think it is. And he cooks bug brittle, and he puts it on top of salad. Not the bug brittle, but other bug things. He's got probably bug pancakes, all kinds of things. I've tasted them. All of them are good and entertaining.
Hmm.
If you get past the bug, that I'm eating a bug. The crickets are kind of crunchy.
Yeah.
Well, as one
but
would
expect. But they've got some great textures.
Yes, they really
you know, one of the most interesting things about doing the show is that you never know where it's going to go. And it's always a surprise to me. And sometimes...
It's going
to
take a while.
A little horrific.
I have some bug brittle that I will share with you if you guys invite me
well,
back.
Well, willing to. Yeah.
I'll try anything once.
I believe that.
Well, Rich and I have talked about even sushi being sort of generational, yeah. And neither one of us is in that
crazy
generation.
About it. Yeah.
But this I don't know what generation. This is a little maybe 4-year-olds. 292-8513.
You're stuck in the desert for 40 days and 40 nights.
I'm going to bring you some.
Well, you're invited back nonetheless.
That's right.
And hopefully Paul, who is joining us now, will change the subject.
Well, I was hungry. That may work in some other cultures, but I don't think it's quite gotten very westernized yet. What I was interested in was if you guys had anything new and interesting up around the Easton area. And not the standard places. We like Brio, we like the Turkish restaurant up there and all, but is there anything a little different in the area that would be nice to check out?
Well, you've checked out the new North Star, which isn't so new anymore. It's been up.
No, that's great. We love that, too. But you know.
That's a tough one for me, and my wife and I always talk about this when we're up at Easton, that it's tough to find real good food up there. Recently, I tried a sushi restaurant out there called Edamame, which I was really pleasantly surprised, and they do more than just sushi, but that's a pretty good one as well.
Is it in the center? Or
it's not in the center, no. It's on maybe it's at Morse Crossing down there, mm-hmm. I think, but... Other than that, no, I always struggle with finding, you know, outside of North Star, I also enjoy Cafe Istanbul, which is out there.
The second floor at Nordstrom's. Great, mm-hmm. great restaurant up there.
Actually, is a pretty good one.
Yeah.
Okay. What, anything you've had up there recently that's particularly good? If we're...
They have little flatbread pizzas that are great.
That's usually have, yeah.
Yeah.
And the salads.
Right.
Yeah.
I've been to the one up in, here in Bexley, and I like that a lot, too. So that's the same group, right?
The Cafe Istanbul, yes.
Cafe
Istanbul,
yeah.
Gosh, Bexley's taking off today.
Yeah, we're coming up in the world.
Yeah, certainly.
I've been here for 20 years, and it's like, the monk was here for a long time, and it was my favorite hangouts for a long time early on, and then got married, got kids, and didn't get in there very often, but there wasn't a lot of other places to go, and now there's a lot of choices.
Yeah, now there's probably several you haven't even tried yet.
Yeah, exactly. The rest of the city, things have just gotten great the last few years.
Yeah, in a bad economy.
A bad economy, exactly. Yeah. Okay, well, thanks very much.
Thank you very much for your call. 292-8513 if you have questions about food or about restaurants. Speaking of Bexley, and I'm not sure what the relationship is, but I know that Bexley Pizza Plus is a big favorite in mm-hmm. Bexley. And there's recently been a pizza restaurant that's opened in Grandview that has some connection.
It's Rocco's, right?
Yeah.
Opened his own place? I didn't even know that.
Yeah, it's called Rocco's Pizza Plus, I think. Yeah, it is. Yes. It's called Rocco's Pizza
Plus.
No, I
know who Rocco is. I didn't know he'd opened one.
I feel like it's happened. I can remember January 28th.
My son came home with some last night.
And?
It was very good. It was just a pepperoni pizza.
It's kind of classic pepperoni pizza. Mm-hmm. In fact,
is it another Pizza Plus kind of similar? They have one in Gahanna as well. Is it part of the Pizza Plus family?
I don't know.
Was the crust fairly dense and thick?
Well, thick by Rubino's standards, Donato's like thick.
I think Pizza Plus has a thicker crust than most places.
Yeah.
Was it fairly?
Mm,
but not airy, more dense.
It was on the dense side, but not particularly
thick. Okay,
we'll
have to get in and try that. I didn't know that.
The pizza contest every year, they seem to always finish in the top.
They compete nationally, yeah.
And this is down on First Avenue, down around Northwest Boulevard. And there, I think there are a couple of little restaurants down there, Marshall's maybe.
Mm-hmm.
So not on Grandview Avenue. Mm-hmm. It's off the beaten trail a little bit. But
have you tried it?
I think...
I haven't been there. I know they've got gelato, so I had an interview with him, so I asked him some questions, and I knew he competed in the show just this weekend, the National Pizza Championships that were in town, but I didn't catch yet the results, whether or not he did well. I think He always does. I know he competed with something that had like two different kinds of pepperoni. One was spicy, one was regular, and maybe hot peppers, if I remember right.
Good.
So,
wow.
Well, I think they had a little trouble getting this off the ground, ran into some snags that they weren't expecting, and then just recently opened. So,
perhaps, luck. Yeah, I'm looking forward to trying it.
Yeah.
Well, we'll give that a try. Rocco's Pizza Plus.
Oh, okay.
And Amy is joining us from Gahanna. Good morning. You there?
Hi there.
Go ahead.
I wanted to give a plug for Edamame there back at Easton for children. It's a really fun, bright environment, and my kids love going there, and the service is always friendly and laid back. And they also have this soda. I think it's a Japanese soda that you pop a marble down into, and it fizzes, and my kids.
Oh, that's a win. That's a win right there.
And how much does it fizzle?
It's just like a normal soda, but it's putting the marble down into the... You
it's
know,
not
you
one of those exploding things,
really
like the Mentos and the Pepsi or whatever.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
No,
they love going there. It's one of their favorite restaurants.
And so what is it that appeals to kids on the menu? What kind of food?
Well, my kids love sushi, but they also have little, like, bento box-styled children's meals that you get with, like, you can get teriyaki. Kids don't like sushi. You can get, like, teriyaki chicken or rice and, you know, of course, actual edamame. So,
and the decor of the restaurant, I think.
Right.
I didn't mention that part. It's almost space-age looking. Lots of kind of lime greens and, you know, funny-shaped glass. And it's a beautiful – I mean, they spent a ton of money in there, clearly. And I could see how it would be very pleasing to a child's eye.
So we love to sit up. They have a loft area with a few tables.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's even got a second story with, like, yeah, it's...
Oh, a loft area. Yeah. I thought you said a lost area. Well, Miriam will be there today.
Mary's rushing out there.
I haven't lost anybody there yet. One other quick question. Can you recommend a good restaurant in the area for tapas style?
For tapas?
Yeah.
What are we...
Is the Burgundy Room still around?
No.
That is not around. It's going to reopen soon under Cameron Mitchell's ownership. Barrio... down on High Street and Spring, I believe it is, right downtown, is good for tapas.
Isn't Barcelona perpetually good for tapas?
Yes. Always,
yeah. That's a good point.
And that's in German Village.
In German Village. Okay, great. Mm-hmm. Thank
and then
you
there
very
are some
much.
Places that have small plates, but they don't call them tapas, but like Vino on Grandview. It's the same thing.
Which also has a happy hour, I think, Monday through Thursday or Friday.
Mm-hmm. But, yeah, for Spanish tapas, Barrio or Barcelona.
And and back to Barrel 44, they have small plates as well.
Yep.
They've got little, you know, crab cakes and jumbo scallops and that kind of stuff.
And I think last month we had a number of callers inquiring about crab cakes, and we were kind of at a loss. Maybe one or two places came to mind, but they had them pretty prominently displayed on their menu in a couple of places.
Yeah. The it says... A small plate with a jumbo crab cake, though, and it's panko covered and deep fried. Sounds pretty good.
Didn't Miriam? Did you try that?
I did, and there were big chunks of real crab. That's a big distinctive characteristic
less
to me.
Breadcrumbs.
Is it non-identifiable or not? And it was identifiable crab. And I think their Short North location won some kind of public accolade for their crab cakes. So that would be why they're making a strong appearance at this place.
And we did have reputation. Lunch. Yeah, we did have lunch there a couple of years ago, Rich.
Mm-hmm.
And it was bar food, but it was really very good.
Right. And I think this is just kind of a level above standard bar food, and it's, maybe two levels above.
it's much above.
292-8513, we're going to take a short break here. We'll be back in just about a minute or so on All Sides Weekend.
When comedy writer Will Reiser was 24 and sick with cancer, he amused himself by dreaming up ludicrous cancer comedies. After he was cancer-free, he wrote the romantic comedy 50-50 about a guy with cancer. It's now out on DVD. The film stars Joseph Gordon-Levitt, who plays the character based on Reiser. On the next Fresh Air, we hear from both of them. Join us.
And Fresh Air begins in 20 minutes, starting at noon on 89.7 NPR News. Many 89.7 NPR News members have discovered the advantages of using the member card for 2-for-1 dining, cultural events, and family activities.
The February Benefit of the Month for the member card is the Columbus Museum of Art. Enjoy 2-for-1 admission all month long. Become a basic $60 member and get your member card by going to WOSU.org right now.
Support for 89.7 comes from the historic Midland Theater in Newark, presenting International Magicians of the Year, The Spencers, Redefining the Art of Illusion, Friday, February 10th at 7 p.m. Tickets at MidlandTheater.org.
42 degrees in downtown Columbus, sunshine today, a high near 50. Clouds for tonight, a low of 35 degrees. Rain is possible on Saturday, a high of 43, partly cloudy with some isolated showers Saturday night, a low of 31, and sunshine with a high of 45 on Sunday. All Sides Weekend continues on 89.7 NPR News.
And we're back. I'm Marilyn Smith. We're talking about food and restaurants with restaurant reviewers Rich Terapak and his son Rich, along with Marion Bowers Abbott of The Other Paper. And we have Dan joining us, who is looking for recommendations for restaurants downtown. Go ahead.
Yes, we have some tickets to see Billy Elliot on a matinee, and we were planning on taking in the matinee and then going for an early dinner at the Claremont.
Oops.
Well, that's out. So we're looking for some place sort of comparable, you know, easy parking, good service, great food.
You don't want much, do you?
We already parking for Billy Elliot, right? So almost walking distance would be ideal.
Oh, yes.
But is it at the Ohio or the Palace, you know, which theater?
I'm thinking the Ohio, but I could be wrong.
Okay. We talked about a place just up and around the corner from that that's just opened across from the park, the new park, called De Novo. A creative menu, interesting, funky place. It's not going to look like the Claremont, but it's a lot of fun and it's good quality. I don't know if the place, 65 East State, what's the place?
Wow.
Market 65?
Market, is that open in the evening, do you think?
I doubt it. Yeah. Very few of those restaurants in that State House area are open in the evening. If I'm wrong, please call and correct me, but I'm guessing every other incarnation in that space has been lunch only.
If you want a little bit, if you don't mind a little bit more of a walk, you could go down to the Little Palace, which is a lot less upscale than De Novo. It's down on 4th Street. Leave the theater, turn right, go a block and a half, and turn right again, and you'll see it eventually. It's down closer to Maine. What else do we have just there?
Well, and what about Milestone?
Milestone.
That's
sure.
Not bad.
Yeah, Milestone right along the river down there. A great place.
Down by Centennial Park.
And they've certainly gotten good reviews.
Yeah,
I think they were voted at Columbus Monthly's best new restaurant in the city. And I've said on this show, I think it's certainly one of the top best-looking restaurants in the city. The food was, you know, above average as well.
Okay, I'll certainly check it out. Do you have time for me to get in a plug?
Sure.
La Patate Bakery Restaurant on Oak Street near...
I haven't been there.
Fantastic.
What did you get?
I just go for their pastries. I stop in and get a pastry and a cup of coffee to go, and it's always something new every day and always something delicious.
And tell me the name again.
La Patate.
And are they gluten-free or something unusual, some unusual niche? Like, or everything's made with flaxseed, or is it not that place?
I'm not sure. I just know that the owner's always on the premises, and the food is always delicious.
Where on Oak is that?
On Oak near Champion.
Okay.
Oh, great.
Well, thanks very much. I hope we answered your question. I hope you have a lovely day at the theater and something good to eat afterwards.
Thank you very much.
That's the place that's been open. It's a West African menu. On Oak. It's down from the Yellow Brick Pizza and those places talked about.
I haven't been
there yet, but I've heard about it, though.
292-8513, if you have questions or if you have recommendations. McKinnon is joining us. Hi.
Hey, how are you guys doing?
Good. You?
I'm doing great. Thank you. Hey, I was actually going to recommend to you guys a wonderful Ethiopian restaurant. It's in Whitehall. It's called Lalibela. It's like on Main and Hamilton.
Huh.
I don't know if you guys ever heard of it, but it's been there for almost 8 years. Great service. The owner is always there, and every time you come in, he's always shaking people's hand. It's like a bar slash restaurant, but they have amazing food up there.
What corner? Is it in the big shopping center, or is it in the...
Well, it's like in a little shop... not a big shopping center. It's like a little strip mall. It's like next to the Donato's. I don't know if you guys...
I'm thinking it's the southwest corner.
I think so.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, it's, and there's like a tattoo parlor next door to it. Yeah, body language. Yeah, mm-hmm. that's the one.
Huh. I haven't been out there, but thank you for the recommendation.
It's called Lalibela.
Lalibela, yeah. It's spelled L-A-L-I-B-E-L-A.
Okay.
Okay.
Well, thank you very much for your call.
You're welcome.
Appreciate it. 292-8513, if you have recommendations or questions, we'll be glad to talk with you. Ron is joining us from Westerville. Hi.
Hello. How are you guys doing this afternoon?
Good. Go ahead.
I was calling to see if any of your restaurant reviewers were aware of the Del Lago restaurant in Westerville at County Line and Sunbury Road.
Right over the water, right?
Yes.
Hoover Dam, yeah.
I had a good time there about a year ago. I haven't been back in a long time just because it's out of my range. But but I think Westerville has a lot of unusually awesome things. I mean, in a restaurant with a view of the – it's a lake, right? Of a large body of water.
It's a
good thing.
from what I understand, they did close down just for a few weeks very recently to do some renovations on the inside to make and they put in, I think, some additional glass to improve the views. And I heard they're retooling the menu to make it a little bit more Mediterranean-based, like entirely. I haven't been to check out the since
they
rebranded.
That would be a huge change.
Do we know? Is it related at all? I was thinking maybe it was related to Tucci's in that group.
I don't believe so.
Okay.
No, the owner's name is Dave Biancone.
Okay. Have you heard anything about the retooling of the menu up there?
I have not been there. Well, I have been there since it was retooled. But my wife and I usually go in there for the... basically the same items that are on the menu that have been on the menu traditionally.
Okay.
Well, it's certainly got probably one of the best views of any restaurant in the city.
Yeah.
It's on the Hoover Reservoir.
Right.
So, yeah.
And it has a top deck, which during spring, summer, and fall, you can go there and sit out at the bar and enjoy the view. And then it has last year they added a set of tables, a new extension of the restaurant that looks over. You have a better
outside
view of the reservoir. And the menu is great, and they have now started a very good Sunday brunch program. It's a very reasonably priced, excellent food. And here's a question this is a question I'd like to ask. Are you familiar with a place, I think it's called Pasquale's or Pasqualini's? It's on, it's where the old Chuck E. Cheese was at 161 and Cleveland Avenue. Are you familiar with that location?
You know, I've heard of that place, but
I've never tried it.
I haven't either. In that Columbus Center, where La Playa is that the location? Yeah.
We'll have to go see.
Yeah. Okay. All right.
We'll get done in about 15 minutes. We'll go eat.
Thank you.
Well, we do have colleagues here at the station who have spoken very highly of Bel Lago.
Bel Lago.
Yeah. I have never been up there because it's way out of my
Now that the construction at 270 in Cleveland is taken care of, it's a lot easier to get there. You can just get on Sunbury and drive north.
You mean 270 and 161?
270 and 161?
Yeah, you get off 270, take 161 about a half a mile, and then shoot up Sunbury Road. It's really not that tough.
Yeah.
If you look at it on a map, it'll look out of the way, but once you're on Sunbury from 161, it's only probably 6 or 7 minutes up.
I just took Sunbury from Morris, and it wasn't that bad.
Okay.
Well, getting here to there in Columbus right now is a challenge to anyone. 292-8513, and Richard is joining us with a couple of recommendations. Hi.
Hi, how are you today?
Good.
I'm going to recommend 3 family-run restaurants on High Street, all 3 of which I would recommend very highly. At Crestview and High is a Mediterranean restaurant called Lavash.
Oh, yeah,
yes,
it's one of our favorites.
Lavash comes up every month, I think.
I would recommend their lentil soup very highly. At Northwood and High is Cazuela's Mexican restaurant. And, by the way, there you get automatically chips and salsa, fresh, freshly made chips and salsa. It's just provided no charge. And they have several great recipes. I strongly recommend their spinach and mushroom dip. And then going farther south at Euclid and High Street next to the library is the Commonwealth Sandwich Shop.
Been there as well. It's a good place.
And they have great pork recipes and great chicken recipes. If you eat poultry, I don't particularly. But to add to your earlier conversation, they have fresh crab cakes.
Oh, great.
Well, that's good.
And on
know.
Wednesdays, everything's $5.
Yeah, that's right. Everything is right. Wednesday is $5 day, and often take a day here on Wednesday.
Well, and they just reviewed that in the Weekender, the supplement in the Dispatch yesterday, and apparently they're going a little lighter on some of the heavier pork sandwiches and doing a few more vegetarian things.
Ah,
so that's the Commonwealth Sandwich Shop. It's kind of what?
Next to the library.
Yeah, it's going to be south of campus, and it's probably a few blocks south of campus next to the
branch library.
Yeah, at Euclid.
And from what I understand, there's very limited seating in there, but is seating in the bar next door. There's some connection there. 292-8513, thank you very much for your call today, Richard. John is joining us. We just have about 10 minutes left. Go ahead.
Hi, I was wondering where good places are to get chopped salad, preferably without meat.
I rarely order that. You mean where everything's chopped very finely?
Like a Cobb salad?
Yeah.
Yeah, or just a salad in general. So I've been getting chopped salads at Piatta, the Italian street food place, and they're really good. So I was wondering if there are other ones.
Boy, I know there are, and I'm just not going to, you know, a lot
Market
of them.
Market 65.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, that would be good.
They specialize. They'll custom make your salad.
Yes.
When I think of chopped salad, I think of something really finely chopped.
Finely
so they're
chopped.
Not.
And it usually has ham and cheese in it. But,
but you can throw what you want there, and they have a lot of cool ingredients. And for some reason, it doesn't – like when I go to a salad bar – I never do a good job. It's not a good thing for me eating rice. But when I go there and I tell them and I want artichokes, it turns out better if they do it. Yeah. So
you have so many issues.
I know. I do. You've picked an unbalanced person to sit here.
What better kind?
It makes three of us.
My favorite salad in town is actually not at a place that specializes in it, but the Mad Greek on East Broad Street has a Greek salad that's loaded with bean. Protein, garbanzos and bean proteins. That's really, really good. You can get it, with meat if you want, but without, it's a great lunch. That's...
And Miriam won't get it because it has goat cheese.
That's right.
Yeah, definitely goat cheese.
Well, I hope we've helped you. I think you caught everybody by surprise a little bit.
Yeah. Okay, no, it was very helpful. Thank you.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Thank you for your call. Tim is joining us now from Worthington. Hi.
Tim, hello.
Go ahead.
Yes, I was going to make a recommendation. We had a party of seven 2 weeks ago, and we went to the Sidebar Cafe, 122 East Main Street.
Got to get there. I haven't been there yet, and it's getting good reviews. Yeah.
Mediterranean cuisine. The service was very good. A nice wine selection. My wife and I split the black grouper, and it was very good. Very good. Very nice sized portions, and we really enjoyed it.
And this is a restaurant out of Dayton, right?
I'm not sure where it's from. It was recommended to us from another coworker.
I believe you're right.
They also have a room downstairs, a bar downstairs that they have some jazz in.
Mm-hmm.
I think it starts at 9:30 somewhere in that area. But I would highly recommend it. I thought it was very good. It was a party of seven. They took care of us, and there was no problem.
And that could be a good choice for our theater goer.
Right.
Good call, absolutely.
Yeah, and particularly anything that's being held at the Great Southern, because you're only about a block and a half away.
Sure.
So this is the Sidebar at 122 East Main Street?
Mm-hmm. The old
brownstone.
Yep.
Yeah, and that you're right, that cellar, it's kind of a limestone cellar. It looks like a speakeasy kind of place. It's a lot of fun.
Yeah, kind of swanky,
Yeah.
Well, thank you very much for your call today, Tim. And Karen is joining us from Gahanna. Hi, Karen.
Hi there.
You're there. Go ahead.
I just wanted to make a quick recommendation.
Sure.
What appeared to be the equivalent of the little storefront hole in the wall turned out to be a pleasant surprise for my palate. There's a little place in Gahanna off of Morris and Hamilton called Tava Turkish Grill.
Oh.
Tava, T-A-V-A?
T-A-V-A, Turkish Grill. It's, you know, it's kind of slow cook with fast service.
Great combination.
The salad's fresh, and he serves, like, I think three different meats, like a lamb, a chicken. It's kind of almost set up like a Chipotle-style service, but your palate is just so surprised and just refreshing. It's good food, and the price point is amazing. You can serve a family. I have a family, a large family, and we served our large family for less than $30.
Nice. Wow. And that just opened 3 months ago, right? It's kind of new?
Yes, it is. Yeah. I think it's been about four months. But you can't beat the taste. And, you know, my palate, I like global-type cuisine and just good food. Just good food, and it's good food.
Great.
And the
Thank
service
you.
There, the owner is wonderful.
Thank you very much. That Chipotle-style restaurant is becoming a sort of a new model for we've got Piata, who a
it's healthier
colleges.
Fast food, essentially. and you know, I think
it's customizable.
Yeah, right.
That's, I think, what a lot of people like.
Yeah. Well, and it must be less expensive to start up. You don't have a wait staff.
Right. You got 5 or 6 people behind the counter, and that's about it.
Yeah. 292-8513, and Sophia is joining us. Hi. Go ahead.
Hi. I'm just calling to make a quick recommendation for Cinco de Mayo out in Powell. It's a Mexican restaurant, and they have wonderful salsa and chips that come to the table automatically, wonderful house margaritas. I've never had a bad dish there. Everything we eat there probably once a month at least, and it's just a really delightful environment and incredible food.
Is that in the strip with the grocery kind of?
Yeah, it's a surprising location.
Right off of Powell Road.
Yes, right off of Powell and Sawmill, and there's a giant eagle there, and yeah, you could easily miss it, and we just kind of walked in one night on a lark because everything was full, and we've just been going back ever since.
No, I've actually been there, and I thought it was quite good. Yep.
Yeah.
Well, thank you very much for your call and your recommendation. I appreciate it.
Thank you.
Let's see here. We have John who's been holding. Go ahead. You with us?
Yes.
Go ahead.
This is John. I wanted to recommend a place in Grandview called Mazza. They have the best Mediterranean food in town. It's all homemade and exquisite.
Yes, and we ate there, I think, during a blizzard last year, didn't we?
Yeah, exactly.
Oh,
it was tough to find because the signage wasn't up yet.
But. And the snow was a whiteout condition, as I recall.
Yeah, but it is good.
Yeah,
it's
right. Really good.
Thank you.
Highly seasoned.
Thank you very much. The signage was, I don't know whether they've replaced
it. They painted the window, I think.
Yeah. Right, and because it was flat against the building, it didn't protrude at all. It was a little bit difficult to find. But it is right there on Grandview Avenue between 5th and 3rd.
Right.
292-8513. We have a minute or two left. If you'd like to call, I can't tell which phone is ringing here. Gabby, I guess, is joining us. Go ahead. Gabby?
Hello.
Hi, yes. Go ahead.
A place that might be a substitute for Claremont, the Claremont before or after a show downtown, if it is still good, I have not been there recently, might be Latitude 41.
Very good idea.
Oh, good call.
And the parking, if you eat there, you can valet park, and the restaurant will stamp your parking ticket, and that's free also.
Oh, I didn't know that.
That's really good to know.
Yeah,
because that's a difficult area. This is the Renaissance Hotel you can valet park.
Yes. Yep. Right. Is it still good?
Yes,
it is. A very good restaurant.
Yeah.
They've
done
some very innovative things. I think they have a rooftop garden that they grow herbs and
up on that old pool deck they're growing their own herbs and some vegetables up there, not right now, but
well
season.
Although they could, I have plants coming up in my
garden.
I want to thank everybody who called and thank our guest Rich Terapak and his son Rich, who do reviews here at WLSU along with Miriam Bowers Abbott, food reviewer for the other paper. This is WOSU 89.7, WOSU HD1 Columbus, streaming online at WOSU.org, 89.7 NPR News, a service of WOSU Public Media. And news from NPR is coming up next. It's noon.